Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Friday, April 26th, 2024. And our top story today, car insurance premiums soar. What you can do. Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Ray McGrath is an automobile enthusiast. And I fondly call this segment Ray's Garage. Ray, thanks so much again for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeff. I enjoy being with you.
I love pulling into Ray's Garage. I think it's a great segment, and I love, you have a completely different career, but your hobby, and has been a hobby for a long time, is rebuilding cars. So I always enjoy talking to you about that. Ray, let's talk about car insurance premiums. When we last had you were on with Ashley King of State Farm. We talked about the insurance premiums starting to rise. Ray, those premiums, regardless of where you live, New Jersey like you, Charlotte like North Carolina like myself, all around the country, they continue to go up.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's also the fact that cars have gotten more expensive and more complicated. It's not a $25,000 car. Everyone knows probably, you know, Ford pickup is $75,000. And they have a lot of technology built into them, which increases the cost of repair, but also, you know, requires a higher skill level of technician to repair the vehicle.
So Ray, do you believe, just based on your anecdotal evidence and your own research, is the cost of the rise in insurance, is the variable there, is it really to the replacement cost of the vehicle plus the maintenance? Is that what is really driving the cost increase?
It's that, but it's also supply chain. I mean, we'll probably talk a little bit about EVs and, you know, their infrastructure to support their vehicles is not as robust as, say, a traditional, you know, Ford or General Motors in terms of what they provide or their dealership network. But, you know, it's the complexity of the vehicle. It's also, I mean, wages are up. You got to pay more to get good people. Technicians, you know, with the skill levels are not cheap, you know, so it's a combination of a variety of factors.
And do you think that, you know, the people drove less during the pandemic, so naturally the insurance costs went down because they weren't driving much. It created a different algorithm to come up with the premium for that particular pool. But does it make sense now, especially, to go out and shop for your car insurance and think about unbundling? Because a lot of what we talked about with Ashley and State Farm was about bundling, but should you really go out right now and see what's out there?
You should. And a great case point or story case in point is one of my friends is trading in his Camry. He wants to get a Tesla. And I said, hey, you should just contact your agent just to find out how much more the premium would be. You know, it's probably not going to be the same. And sure enough, it was about, and he's in Illinois, but it was about 40% higher only because the cost of replacement parts and you know, if you do damage to the battery pack, it's more expensive for insurers. So yeah, it's definitely worth factoring in, you know, the big picture. It's not just your monthly payment on the car, but what's your insurance costs.
And when you do that, Ray, you've got to look at your coverages. It's got to be apples to apples. I know you're in a different business, but we're in the business you're in, apples to apples, it's very important in doing comparisons. Your deductible, your collision, whether you're insuring another passenger in the vehicle, your liability, I guess is what it's called. Those are things, when you get those quotes, you've got to size them up side by side. It's not as simple, Ray, as looking at that end premium for 6 months.
Right. And you know, even folks that were leasing a car, you know, 5 years ago, and it was $200 a month, say that on the low end, I mean, they're in for sticker shock as well now, because not only has the resale values changed, but, you know, the purchase price of new cars have gone up a lot. So yeah, there's a wide variety of factors, but overall, it's almost like government. They're a little bit slow to catch up, but the insurance company realizes that they were paying out a lot more to repair these vehicles. And it was impacting their bottom line. So they're catching up right now, unfortunately.
Yeah, and just to kind of paint a very clear picture for the audience, insurance premium, whether it's health insurance, life insurance, car insurance, house insurance, it's regulated at the state level. So any cost increase has to go through the state regulator. So there's a state insurance regulator, right? And they have to approve or disprove the increase. So this has gone through a process. I'm not saying it's, so I guess what I mean is it's semi-justified, I guess.
Yeah, but also, like if you had a Honda Accord, and I'm not picking on Honda, but if you got into an accident, the insurance company could go to a dismantler or a junkyard or scrapyard, which serves the insurance industry, and they would sell them 4-year-old bumpers and hoods and things like that. If you have one of the, and I'll pick on Rivian now, if you have a Rivian, there's not a large supply of those vehicles in the scrapyard waiting to be dismantled. So
Yeah.
forces the insurer to go to the manufacturer, and they're basically paying, instead of paying $400 for a fender, they might be paying $3,000, so it adds up.
Yeah, it does add up. And Ray, I like that you brought up electric vehicles. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ray about what you need to know before you stop at the dealership to pick up your electric vehicle. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries.
33 years old, you retired early. The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Ray, thanks so much for staying with us. Really appreciate you hanging around for segment number two this morning.
Yeah, I didn't have anywhere else to go this morning, so I'm here.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, you had to go to Ray's garage. You got cars to work on. Yeah, they look for parts. Ray, how do you, before we get into EVs, how do you source the, I think I've seen pictures of the vehicles you've restored. How do you find the parts for like a 1965 Camaro? Just making that up.
So tomorrow at 4 a.m., I'm leaving for Carlisle, Pennsylvania. By the time the show airs, it'll already be finished, but it's a huge 4-day event out there. And it's basically hundreds, if not close to 1,000 vendors selling all types of antique and old parts and the tools and the material. So it really services it's the antique automobile club but it's basically those type of events, and they're across the country.
Yeah. And so that's where you get your materials and parts and whatnot. All right, Ray, you brought up your friend in Illinois who wanted to buy a Tesla. We're not picking a Tesla. And you also brought up the Rivian, which is another brand, another type of, sports utility vehicle. What do I need to know if I'm thinking out loud and trying to maybe think about an electric vehicle? What do I need to know before I step onto that dealership to pick one up?
Well, it's not as simple as buying a Honda Accord, because there's a whole network of just not only dealerships, but also independent mechanics who are familiar with repairing and maintaining the product. They'll always say with an electric car, all you have to pay for is tires and wipers and things like that, which is true. So maybe there's not a lot of money in the business for someone who needs their transmission repaired or an alternator swapped out. But at the same time, because the aftermarket industry really hasn't caught up with a level of support for these vehicles, you're kind of at the mercy of the dealership network, which you know, and I'll pick on Fisker, right? They made the news. They were cutting prices. They're trying to stay alive. I'm sure they're not putting a lot of effort into their support network. They're trying to sell vehicles just like everyone is. And the dealership or the repair and the maintenance part of the is kind of an afterthought for a lot of these, you know, newer manufacturers, so to speak. So
yeah, but right to our based on our conversation in the first segment, I mean, the failure rate has to be in comparison with a traditional fossil fueled gas powered vehicle. I mean, you know, you're going to have to replace parts. Every vehicle. There is no vehicle that is immune, and especially electric vehicle is immune to having maintenance issues.
But the problem here is the time it takes for your car to be returned back to you or repaired. So the insurance company is typically paying for a rental car for you while the car is being repaired. And some of these, you know, non-mainstream dealers, and I'll include Tesla because their infrastructure, you know, they get a lot of criticism, but you can't get your Tesla repaired in 2 weeks and it'll be back to you. It might be 3 months. And see, the insurer's on the hook for that. And they've got to factor that into your premium, you know, from their experience. And now the insurers have experience and they know what they're in for. Another great anecdotal story is, I mean, Tesla's done a great job by single stamping large portions of metal on the side of the car and it maybe integrating parts of the battery and whatnot. But if you, say, hit a piece of debris on the road, damage the battery pack, you might not be able to get one part to fix it. You might have to replace, you know, $15,000 battery pack, which can get also expensive for the insurer. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't make them faces, but those are the worst case scenarios. I mean, look, they're great cars. They do a lot. You save on, you don't have to, well, everyone knows the pros and cons. So,
I was going to ask you, how do you, on paper, so if I'm thinking about, you know, it looks, so at face value, you pay X for the car, and maybe it's a little bit more because of the higher technology, all the things you talked about, but on the back end, you're theoretically going to pay less for gas. So how do you as a potential buyer figure that out on paper? I mean, how do you back into whether or not that electric vehicle is going to be a good deal for you? Because if you're, you know, if you've got a 5-year note, 60 months, right, you got to figure out, is that deal going to be somewhat have a return on investment?
Right. I mean, and to be honest, Jeff, I'm not 100% familiar, but I would imagine, you know, you look at you're trying to estimate the impact to your electric bill if you're going to charge at home. You may want to still have another car if you plan on doing, you know, like tomorrow I'm going to drive 300 miles, you know, and I probably wouldn't use an electric car if I had to, you know. I know it's probably within the range, but, you know, temperature and air conditioning, if it's a cold day or a lot of things can impact your range, what charging stations are along the way. And I know that's improving. So, I mean, you know, Ford has now adopted Tesla's network. So there's definitely we're getting there. It's just not as quick as some folks would like, you know, but.
Well, Ray, before we get to the increase in gas prices, do you think the American people are kind of, given all the things that we're talking about this morning, had they, you know, it'd be nice in a perfect world to have that electric vehicle. But do you think that most Americans are, you know, put yourself in their shoes, they're like, well, I could do that. But based on everything that Ray and Jeff talked about this morning, you know, the traditional gas powered vehicle is the safer and ultimately less expensive bet.
And I think, you know, there's probably 8 states that have mandated some date where all cars in 10 years have to be sold electric. But yeah, I think that's why people are kind of leaning into hybrids. It's kind of like you're halfway to electric and you still have, yeah. You kind of can get over your range anxiety.
Is that what it's called? The range anxiety?
Range anxiety, right? So, I mean, so for me to go to Carlisle tomorrow, it's 150 miles each way. I would probably want to find a place to charge. But, there, you know, I know where I'm going. There's not an actual charger, so I'd have to stop somewhere. So do I want to stop on my way to the event or my way home when I'm tired? I don't know. You know, you probably want to stop. You probably end up putting on some weight and you spend more time in restaurants along the highway. But you might want to just get enough of a charge to get home, you know, so.
Yeah, and Ray, I want to ask you before I let you go, a completely it's a tied to the conversation. Let's talk about gas prices. Gas prices, obviously things going on in the Middle East. Up until now, we hadn't seen a spike in oil prices, but things are changing, and it looks like gas prices around the country are going up. How much is that impacting a decision for people? Say, oh, you know, shoot, I don't want, you know, you and I are old enough to remember the 70s gas lines. I was a young child. You're a little bit older than I am, but, you know, we're not in that situation.
Right. I mean, it's a concern. I mean, it's part of the reason we've seen inflation up for March, because the price of energy is up. Really, it comes down to demand is coming back online, not just in the United States, but in China. But in just in the last couple of days, I mean, yeah, oil was up leading into the weekend. So far, you know, Israel hasn't retaliated, so oil's come down a little bit. I know here in New Jersey, we're introducing a summer blend of gasoline, which is about 25 cents a gallon higher this week. So, you know, there's definitely concerns there. There's also concerns with, I have folks who are trying to decide, do I buy a diesel truck, pickup truck, or a gasoline powered? And, you know, where I am, diesel's about a dollar a gallon more. And they're trying to do the cost benefit analysis of that as well. It's up for sure. You know, who knows what the future holds in terms of, you know, next year, but right now, you know, gasoline is definitely, it's a supply and demand thing. So.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. And I wonder when we next catch up next month, we'll be able to talk about some of the latest, automobile numbers. Is it trending upward for EVs, or is it trending downward for gasoline vehicles? Ray, we're going to have to leave it there. Have fun with your trip out to Carlisle, Pennsylvania. We look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great day.
And that wraps up this episode of BRNAM. Have a topic of interest, someone you think we should talk to, then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news in lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more, and all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Well, visit our website. We're back again tomorrow with another edition of BRN Weekly. Jane King will be here from the NASDAQ to help break down and make sense of the markets. Boy, it's hard to figure out these days. And then we'll be taking a look back at some of our best segments for the week. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.